Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're serious about prayer, why don't you move up a little bit? Give glory and honor to my mother and father, Pastor and Sister Glover. Great example they are to us, and then the protection and leadership they provide as our pastor. I want to make it clear that I don't operate under the same anointing as Pastor Glover. I don't feel the responsibility to be here. In fact, when I speak, I would rather not be here until it was time to speak, tell you the truth. Because I feel after God, and I don't want to do anything but be in the will of God, and I don't like distractions. And so I apologize if me not being here 30 minutes later bothers or early bothers you, but that's how I do it. All right, it's what works for me right now. Amen. The anointing that God's been flowing through me in has turned into the prophetic realm. And when I say prophetic, I don't necessarily mean the gift, word of knowledge, or gift of utterance, but more in line with Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal, that kind of prophetic. I wonder if Sterling can handle that kind of prophetic anointing this year. I was going to share something with you real quick. My son Jackson drew this for me, and that's mountains and the top of rainbows. He goes, "This is Dad climbing to the top of mountains and rainbows." I'll take that in Jesus' name. This year I'm going to be climbing the top of mountains. Be mountaintop experiences. Yes, I believe that, firmly believe it. So forward, week one, it says, pray that we steadfastly press forward in prayer, fully submit to the will of God and totally obey him, using Mark 14:35. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. Wow, what a heavy scripture to use for that. We understand that was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus praying, fully God. Why would he need to pray? And as we begin this year, steadfastly pressing forward in prayer, fully submitting to the will of God, totally obeying him, is that going to require us that same experience? I found a poem I wanted to share with you. Down shadowy lanes, across strange streams, bridged over by our broken dreams, beyond the misty caps of years, beyond that great self-fount of tears, the garden lies. For all who journey soon or late must pass within the garden gate, must kneel alone in darkness there and wrestle with some dark despair. For all paths that have been or shall be pass somewhere through Gethsemane. Pretty heavy. As we begin this year with Sterling in mind specifically, who here believes that the greatest things Sterling's ever experienced are in the future? We cannot lose heart with what we see with our eyes. There have been too many promises given to this church. Too many promises. And how are we going to reach and how are we going to see those begin to be fulfilled in our lives? Well, I think it starts with hunger initially. And I'll tell you what, I am so hungry to see what I know God has promised us to see that I have never seen. I can truthfully say I've never really experienced apostolic revival. Not the way I know God wants to do it. So am I just going to settle for getting through life? Am I just going to say, well, you know, I think my prayers are touching other people's lives, and I believe that other churches are being blessed because I can get deep in prayer. Am I going to settle for that? I can't. I can't. It drives me. Oftentimes I'm here, but I'm not really here. In my spirit, I'm just, how do I get there, God? How do we get there? Can I be selfish real quick? Can I tell you that sometimes I'm angry that I have to rely on the body of Christ in order to experience what I'm going to experience? In fact, I'm praying this year, and I'm praying it for myself also, that God, if I'm not with the body of Christ here in Sterling, if I'm not fulfilling the role that you have called me to fulfill to the utmost, if I'm not crucifying myself, or if other people in Sterling Church aren't doing that and they're needed, do whatever it takes to get their attention. Do whatever it takes to get us there, hungry, on our knees. Because God can do it, right? Do we need God to do it, or are we hungry enough ourselves to start making a real strong look at our lives and the direction we're in, what our priorities are, and then checking this Word of God out and what Pastor Glover's preaching to us and measuring that. Am I focused on God, or is God part of my life? Like, I'll fit you in, God, but only when I really need you. Maybe I'll come on Thursday. I'll probably be there Sunday. That's good enough. Maybe I'll pay my tithes, even though that's a heaven or hell issue. Maybe I'll do it. But are we really realizing that the end times are here? That eternity is just possibly right outside on the next turn you take. And what's that going to mean for us forever? How do we get there, Sister Glover? How does Sterling get there? Sister Sherry, do you believe we will get there, or is this as good as it gets? So we have some powerful, powerful people of prayer here. So united, we're powerful. Every other Tuesday, what's the first thing we do when we wake up? What's the first thing? What's our main priority, getting coffee, or is it checking in with God, or starting to get in the line with Him, or just worrying about our day and maybe not even thinking about God the entire day? Like, where are our mindsets 7 days a week? I know I fall short so often. Catch myself in a just getting caught up in day-to-day life. Not doing my job, praying the prayer of protection over my family. Not getting in line with my spirit with God so I don't miss signals He gives me when I'm possibly out in public. So often I miss that. So it's a constant for me. It's constant asking God for forgiveness, getting right, trying to get my spirit back in line with Him as soon as I recognize the fact that I've let myself get distracted, and that's day by day. I strive to always be in connection with Him, heart-to-heart connection with Him. Right. And you know, that really came for me. I really started to push and live for God in 2012 when we moved back to Alaska. God immediately began teaching me how to pray, and then it became very powerful. And so God personally taught me how to pray intercessory prayer, how to travail, and how to pray warfare prayer. And so I prayed that, and that's how I'd pray. Every day, every time I prayed, I'd enter into some form of that until my health failed me. And so then I couldn't do it, and I was at a loss. I was like, that's like the most precious thing to me. I love God much more than I love my family. And so that's who I want to be in contact with. I mean, that's the only reason why I've been blessed with such a great family, in my opinion, is because I do love God more than I love my family. That's who I want to be in line with. So I had to begin learning another form of communication. And it's been silent more than it's been active and physically demanding. And that's how I describe it, heart to heart. It was just recently that in one of those times with God that he had revealed to me, and I came up with these percentages, but that roughly initially when I was doing that prayer, it was about 90% of the time I was doing the talking. Probably more, really. I'd pray till the burden lifted, and I'd sit there for a bit. Sometimes I'd ask God to confirm his word, but, you know, schedule and the way life is, you got to get going. So I wouldn't spend that time in his presence just soaking it up like I should. And so it moved from 90-10 roughly to now I came up with the percentage, but 25-75. You know how precious that is? 25% of the time you're talking, Mike, and 75% of the time you're trying to see what I got to say or what my will is for any given moment. Because not only do I have responsibility with my own soul, number one, but I have my family. I live with my mom and dad at this point, and so I feel some of their burdens. But also in a church service, I might be the last link between you and hell. Same with you with me. And if I'm not in contact with God or if I'm not really in tune with him, I could miss a moment where, Rick, I could have been the one that stood in the way. I could have been the one that stood in the gap for you. But since I was distracted with regular life, it was more important to me at that moment, I missed that moment. You're on my mind, Rick, and I'm just like, well, I hope Rick's doing okay. Let's go, Megan. Let's go do this. Or I need to get home. And just like Abraham, he's going, I can't destroy Lot until I let Abraham know that I'm fixing to take out Sodom and Gomorrah because I know what he'll do. And so then he's putting that on my mind. Rick. But I'm too busy with regular life. That's how I'm looking at this week one here. I'm looking at it with the seriousness of taking a responsibility like that. Well, that's too heavy for you to take, Mike. No, it isn't. No, it's not. Not really. Am I seriously going to say that I'm not responsible for Megan and for my children? That being in tune with them and being in tune with what God is saying to me about them isn't my responsibility? I believe the best way to look at it for me this year is giving everything to God. So, for example, all my finances I give to God, and so he's going to give me back that 90%. That's how I look at it. But it's not mine until I do what I'm supposed to do. And so then with me, my priorities, me and Megan, where we're at right now, not the greatest situation. That's part of what drives me in my spirit. And I'm bringing that kind of stuff up because I'm talking to a lot of people that are dealing with health situations and dealing with other situations. Before we jump to praying you out of it or trying to, have we tuned in with God to see what maybe he has something going on there? Might be the only thing keeping some of us in church. Who are we to think otherwise? Or it might be because God's wanting to show you something about himself. God, I want to be so close to you. I want to know what you know. Well, he knew a lot of suffering. So how can he show you that side of him without you suffering and him taking you through that? Or are we facing some of the things we're facing right now because he needs people that are going to just rely on him, that's going to cry out to him, going to let him take us through these difficult times on our knees so he can use your tears and use everything that you're giving to him in the form of intercessory prayer for other people. I'm not so quick anymore to jump on praying for people in the church for healing. In fact, when I get text messages asking to pray, I'll be honest with you, Megan prays. Me and Megan get together, and I have her pray. Partly because Megan has much more faith than I do when it comes to things like that. I felt the gift of faith actually begin to operate through her in those kinds of prayers before. But it's also because I'm not going to jump to praying for you. Because if God needs you to be listening to him, or if God's trying to show you something, well, I need you on board. Because we need to see what we're going to see here in these end days. The odds are surmountable in our minds, right? Just think Elijah and 450 prophets, plus he called out 400 more that didn't show up. So 850 against him. Even though there was people serving God, Elijah just considered it was him. And that's why he said, I and I alone, when he's up on the mount. That's the odds we're facing. Rebecca, do you have enough Holy Ghost working through you? Do you think that could happen through you? What about you, Amy? Phoebe? Looking at so many people right now that I believe could probably just drop right into intercessory prayer right now, or at least deep prayer. What are you waiting for? No, seriously, what are you waiting for? It's week one, right? Tandoma koye shatanda makaye tandamo. Itanda makio no mo shakiate atanda haye kio no mo ye anaya. Indo nai mayo koye asayo no mo ye tanda maye kio. Yondo maye ende o koye asaye ayanayo ye aye. Yondo yanaya ye o no moko ya sakia na yo tondo moko ye yando bahai yanda shakia tende me hayo tondo makian e ya sa ye ki o no mo shamai ata ye ki o no mo ye tanda maya sane kia Io tondo mo ye ya na ye ai 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 oh no ye ai ai Enai o no ye ai 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 Enai o Men maso ki me ate ana yo ko ye sha tende me at Levi, 1 Kings 18. Go ahead and keep praying. I'm just going to read some scripture here. 1 Kings 18, verse 1. It's when Elijah is leaving the woman that he had stayed with, that God had miraculously continued to, with the oil and meal, to sustain them. 18:1, this is what we're going to face this year. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. God is wanting to release the anointing of Elijah this year. Verse 2, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, King Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Verse 3, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. So Obadiah is a Christian also. It's what we're facing here this year. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And so verses 5 and 6, Ahab tells Obadiah, you go into half the land, I'm going to go to the other half. Let's see if we can find grass so we can save our horses and mules alive. Verse 7, how appropriate. And as Obadiah, Christian, man of God, saved the prophets, was in the way, man, it's so appropriate. It's what we're facing this year. The anointing of Elijah and Obadiah both serve God. God's told Elijah to go call out the prophets of Baal. In verse 7, he runs into another man of God, a Christian. Behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy lord, Ahab, behold, Elijah is here. And Obadiah goes, what? Have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Because you see, Obadiah loves God, save those prophets, is very high up in Ahab's kingdom, and Ahab has zero idea. Undercover Christians. Christians that don't want confrontation, because that's not Christian. So we just sit back and we let all those babies be aborted, because that, what can we stand out against LGBT? Can we speak up about what will happen? What will happen to me? What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? Yeah. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when he said, he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And I know, and so here's his faith. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. So it's not even, I don't even believe you, man of God. It's not that I don't trust you. I don't even trust God. Because God's the one that's going to remove the path, going to remove Elijah. And so then I'm going to tell Ahab, you're not going to be there. I'm going to get killed. That's what we're facing in these end times here. Two different Christians. The anointing of Elijah and Obadiah, who's very sincere. He saved 100 prophets. He's hid them in caves. But he cannot handle the thought of confrontation. And he absolutely does not believe that God will back him up or protect him. In fact, you look at that scripture there. He really believes that God's going to leave him hanging. Elijah's not going to leave. The Spirit's going to pick Elijah up. So then he goes on. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. And so Obadiah goes, went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. This is the anointing God's wanting to loose and sterling. He's wanting, it's his will for the anointing of Elijah to come back. It's his will. He didn't die with John the Baptist. He needs that Spirit to prepare the way of the Lord one more time. Make the crooked places straight. Get us in alignment. Get the body of Christ in alignment with him. Turn the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers. And so here we go. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? He's talking to the king. This is what God wants to loose. This is the kind of boldness God wants to loose in these end times. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Confrontation. We won't face that in America, right? We're not going to have to, we'll never deal with that. What about even spiritually? Put that up to Levi, that prayer. Can we confront things spiritually? Who would say that? I'll pray that. I can pray this prayer every single day, one time a day. I plead your blood over my sins and the sins of my nation. God, end abortion and send revival to America. I mean, is that not on us, abortion? We have a president in office now. Who's put one judge in place. There's the possibility of him, what, three judges, Pastor Glover? Possibility of President Trump? What kind of revival would sweep through America if Roe versus Wade was overturned? Can we confront that on our knees? Is that our responsibility? This is a man, Lou Engel. As far as I know, he doesn't have truth, all truth. But he started an outrageous movement to end abortion. This October, of course, the news didn't cover it. This October, there were thousands of women in Washington standing against abortion. There was a million more online. A million more women online. That's a man of God that has that. That prayer, God gave him that prayer. I guess first off, we have to even care and take responsibility for that. Because it's too big, sometimes that's a big thing, abortion. But what can we do? Well, at the very least, we can play that prayer, that or pray that prayer. But if we got on our knees and allow God to weep through us, speak through us in tongues, who knows what God could do through us? I mean, I know right now it doesn't have anything to do with Sterling. And if we've people that have had an abortion, there is a blood that speaks better things than Abel. The blood of Jesus Christ. And aren't we thankful for forgiveness? Aren't we thankful for baptism and what it does? Amen. Well, this is one confrontation that needs to take place in America. Why are the heavens shut up? Why aren't we having this revival? Well, why are you so okay with allowing these murders to take place right under your nose and you don't even care, Mike? Can I be truthful? Like abortion, never even pricks my spirit till recently. How in the world can I call myself a man of God and the murder of babies not bother me? Partly probably because I don't have the faith to think I could do anything about it. And I can't do anything about it. But I'm in prayer. Oh, you better believe I could. You better believe I can. So I'm very thankful that God started to give me this burden. And I have no problem pushing what Lou Engle has right there. I have zero problem doing that. It's a man of God that has taken something from God and is pushing it in America. For years he's been doing this now. Years. You guys ever seen the tape? Like they put tape on their mouth and it says like life or... Well, anyways, that's one of his protests he started. A silent protest. Because babies don't have voices. And they can't protest themselves. So it's not just Sterling things. It's not just your little owies and our little problems that we have. And God bless me with $1 million because I paid my tithes. That's how America is now. Like, let's give you a slow clap. Because you paid your tithes. No, you actually get to go to heaven now. That's how we've become, I think. I'm not saying you. I'm talking about America, period. It's all about us. I don't have time for you, Greg, because I have all kinds of issues, so don't bother me with what you got going on. Fully submit to the will of God and totally obey him. Pray that we steadfastly press forward in prayer. Does anyone believe that the spirit anointing of Elijah could get on you? Do you see the two choices there right now? Or the two different descriptors right there? The actual biggest hindrance to this showdown was actually a man of God himself, Obadiah. His fear. And the fact that Ahab absolutely had no idea that he was a Christian. Now, we don't live with an Elijah anointing operating all the time. You can see that portrayed with Elijah when he comes, all the things that take place in that one single day, outrunning the chariot being the last thing, which was, I don't see how that did anything to glorify God, but it definitely drained him down to where when Jezebel sent him that letter, he thought it was over, it's time to die. So the anointing isn't always going to be powerful. There are going to come moments confrontation moments in the spirit with our families this year. Moments where we can back down. Moments where we probably usually have backed down. Or how about even pushing in the spirit? You know, half the time I think services end just short of the actual will of God being accomplished. Because we put so much pressure on the pastor to get service over with because we got other things to do. Or we can't concentrate well enough to even hear 60 minutes of preaching. Much less giving out energy to actually pray and there be. You know how easy it is to have a move of God? You just start pushing. You just start pushing in prayer. That's how hard it is to have a move of God in a service. But we don't, because we have to push in prayer. We have to connect. And Thomas, I got my issues, man. So, you know, I showed up to church, so I should be ministered to instead of ministering. Bless me, but I'm not going to be a blessing. Recognize me, or else I'm not going to participate. My people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face. That was spoken in this summer. And then I remember Sister Abbott gave a prophetic word that God was now going to answer by fire. I pretend that seek my face and beyond is where we submit to the will of God. Because we'll never know what our wicked ways are to God until we're really seeking his face. We all need a Jacob moment. Many of us need more than one. I do. Where circumstances in life drive us to where we're left with one option. God. When he was running from Esau, so it's so significant that river that they forded over was Jabbok, means emptying. Emptying. He was empty. He had let his family go. You go here, you go there. And it was just him. He was left alone. Jacob, the swindler, the trickster, the thief. But somehow, and the one that was many promises from God, promises given, promises given to him, and given promises he had made to God that he wasn't at this point doing. All this potential, he finds himself alone. I guess I better turn there. And he wrestled with a man till the breaking of the day. When verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. You know, that is the toughest, like the strongest muscles in your body are right there at that hip joint. When we reach this moment with God, God's going to touch us if we allow him, the strongest point of our flesh. That's part of the point of this, is removing the strength of our flesh so we can't rely on our flesh, ourself. And if we do, we're going to be handicapped. We aren't going to be able to do it anymore like we used to. That's the purpose. That's part of the purpose of this. But there was a hunger, there was a desperation in Jacob. So in verse 26, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." This angel was God, actually. Epiphany. Is that what they call it, Pastor Glover? Epiphany? Oh, it was God, the angel. That was an epiphany of God. That was it, right? Theophany, I'm sorry. Theophany. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Can you put that scripture up I gave you? This is in the Amplified. Look at this. This is what needs to happen to all of us. We reach this moment. The man asked him, what's your name? And read that. Jacob had no idea what he really was until right there. In shock of realization. Now he's whispering, Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler. We don't know the wickedness in our hearts. Or we don't know what God needs. Maybe it's not even wickedness. But we don't know what hinders us or what God wants to remove from us until we get to places like this. It's so powerful to me right there. This is the one man in Scripture that it said he had power over the angel, which we know is that theophany. God gave him power in Hosea 12. The power came through strong tears, crying, supplication. That's how we get power with God. But how can we fully submit to the will of God until we really allow God to do surgery on us? We always have that choice of allowing either God to make this situation happen, like with Jacob, or for us willingly, with hunger. God, I need to see what you've promised. I have so many words that I speak to God, so many promises I've received that haven't happened yet. Am I my worst enemy? Am I the one that stops this? Obviously, we can't be good enough and we can't earn things. But we can empty ourselves. We can have our Gethsemanes. Because truthfully, I don't want to do half the stuff I do. I don't like feeling confrontational all the time, having to tone it down if I get behind the pulpit. In Spokane, I get the weight of the service on me probably 11 o'clock in the morning. So I'm carrying it, and I'm agitated in my spirit. I don't particularly enjoy that. Then after service, it's never good enough for me, where I always feel like it could have been better, could have been more. A real calling from God is not something you necessarily are just overjoyed to have happen in your life. In fact, you won't until you do something like this. Until we crucify ourselves or allow him to do that work in our spirits. Emptying of ourselves, our own wills. God, you. Do we all realize we all have a calling? Do we realize what our calling is in the body of Christ? If not, we need to. We need to find that out. Who here feels like they are in the perfect will of God or doing all they can for God or have matured to that level of really being powerful? I know I'm not. So there's one thing I know I can do. Can allow myself to break before God, humble myself, allow tears to come, and I can connect to God. I know how to do that. Thomas, do you know how to connect to God? Rebecca? Levi? Romans 8 is the guideline to this. It outlines very well the difference between being carnally or humanistic minded, or we think carnally, we always think immediately of terrible, but no, just thinking with your own wisdom. The difference between that and being spiritually minded. Read Romans 8. If we're going to move forward as a church, it's going to be spiritually minded people connecting with the pastor, connecting with his vision. It's just simple things. If I'm going to pray in the Spirit, Sister Glover, if you're going to pray in the Spirit, is that a mindset? Or is it Hitando Mokoye Shataye Kiono Mokoye Tanamahaki? Hiondo Mosha Mahayeki Anai Hiotondo Moshakia Hitayotonde Meki. So unless I have a direct word or scripture, that's how I pray. Or with tears, if I'm praying like that. Praying in the spirit is it going, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who today has loaded us down with so many benefits. That's not praying in the spirit. How quickly can you step into praying in tongues? How comfortable are you with that? How do I pray the perfect will of God? Pray in the Holy Ghost. I know it's simple. And I want to be a prayer warrior. Pray. and the Holy Ghost. Allow yourself to cry. Don't pray for yourself. What Pastor Glover said on one of the Sunday services is another focus for this year. That's don't pray for the gift. The giver of the gift. Well, he was saying seek his face for him, relationship. Forget about what kind of benefits you might get or what you need. Your shopping list. Don't bring that into church here. In fact, I pray God doesn't answer your or give you your shopping list if you do bring it here. Let's seek God's face. I want to get as close. I want to be like Moses. I want to see him face to face. I want to talk to him mouth to mouth, even apparently. I don't want to have to perceive, well, now what did that mean? I want to know. That's another thing. We don't need to receive words from everybody. God should be your number one source of getting a word. And then your second source right here, Pastor Glover. Because the Bible is real clear. I don't care what kind of anointing someone has or what kind of title. Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church here, giving you keys. So what was Peter's first word to Jesus? Was that in line with God's will? No. You don't need to receive every word you hear. You don't need to be hungry for a word from somebody. I need a word. Get on your knees. Or listen to your pastor. 2018, get on your knees or listen to your pastor. You don't need some prophet speaking into your life. Half the time they're just anointed flesh is what they are. Better line up with the word of God. Better not contradict anything pastor's saying. Or it's a false prophet or a false word or they screwed up. Just consider it that. In fact, if someone gives you a word, they better pass it by Pastor Glover. Or they better have permission from Pastor Glover. Have been released by him to do so. Or don't trust it. I don't care if they're a pastor. I don't care if they're an evangelist. Well, anyways. Get a little spanking when I get home, most likely. Now I'm starting to be anointed flesh. No, I'm just joking. All right, can we push in prayer real quick? We'll be done. Ikiando samahaye shibahayo kondomo shimahi kiando moko yetende mehaya sindekia. Biondo mbahaye shabahaya kondo mahotonde mekiatende meyanda. Jesus, allow us to feel that anointing of Elijah. Jesus, give us a taste of it right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let us feel it begin to burn in our spirits. Ikiondo mo shimahaye kiondo moko mahayetanda maki. Yondo shimahaye ki hato tonda masaki andamaya. Yotonda mashaba hakiondo shetende mekiata. Mondombo iata yakiono shemahaya. Yondo koshiata tanda maha kiondo shema andaye. Yotondo mokoyetanda moshata yakiondo moshia. Yondombo kiandaya samako tondo shianaya kioto. Yondo maya saye kio no ya kia haye tanda moko ye tandai. Yondo shimehe ki ana sakai ano moya sakia. Yondo shimehe anaha ana ye kio tonai. Yane ono ya sakio no shi ana ya kia nai. Yondo komo ya ta ye tanda ya si ano koye. Let's push forward, church. Yondo shimianda samakiondo mohuya. Eta yeshando mokomo ya tandaya. Yondo samahayetanda mokoyeta nemehashikia. Yondo moya shia tekianaya sianakio. Spirit of Elijah, anointing of Elijah. Obadiah, move out of the way, buddy. God's very kind to me, and he usually always confirms his word. What I stumble around and say, he usually confirms it. And I believe he's going to do that again tonight. What's God want from us? Or what do we give God? Everything. Everything. Mean my career? Yep. Sister Seagraves, why would your boys settle for being successful businessmen when they could be preachers? I mean, is there a higher calling than that? Everything.
Let's stand tonight. Let me just emphasize here a point that Brother Mike made. The passage of Scripture that is used for week one of the theme of prayer, forward. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed. Gethsemane, a place of tranquility, a place of beauty, a place of peace, became a place of turmoil for him. Matthew says of that same instance that he fell on his face, as though to emphasize what he said later. The spirit is willing. The spirit is willing. But the flesh is weak. The flesh is not going to get the job done. You cannot trust an arm of flesh. You have got to transition into the spirit for effectual prayer. And that is not something that you can just turn on, turn off. 45 seconds of instant prayer in the spirit, and then you're done. Not if you're going to enter deeper. Not if you're going to go farther. Not if you're going to be used the way the Lord wants to use you. Amen. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He struggled. He felt insecure. He felt lonely and isolated. He fled for his life instead of turning around and confronting Jezebel. And yet he heard that still small voice. Oh, God's got some great things in store for us this year. Some great things. And we're believing the Lord for it. Amen. And what Brother Mike shared tonight, let's take it to heart. Let's put it within. Not just the proverbial water off a duck's back, but take it in, apply it, use it, and see the Lord do the work that he wants to do through you. Amen. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman, still avails much. Praise God. Praise God. Hard to stop here. So many things going through my mind and heart right now. But we stand here. We stand here largely because of a little white-haired woman that would not let go of God and prayed and prayed and prayed. And Sister French birthed this church in prayer. Oh, my. Oh, my. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Undama sataya kengehetururai. O tolorarama shakatayanba. Yen mosoko korarama. Yen dolorarime Jesu kotarama. Yen abriando posolarabayaka. Anda malala moko koko rarimase. Shobarera la maso, malera la makete, yendo olaraba. Hala balini betsungo hombararama. Oh, dolera le mesengere la la mopaya. Umondo, dolera la makise katendere la la bo. Ah, la baya pamanga Oh, ye tenga Jesús no lo romonda. E perere la macaso un gondolo non è mai appata. Anda bahazzo un dolore non lo bomba. Ne kenga la macaso cotarnde la limo son dolore non lo Ah, ya tamarili me kesu. Ah, ya suten gelende pororomo hosondo alarare makende la raba. Hange berenili ni malana makashanda alarare ma pororobo ma. Handa bahaso lo kongende la raba ma. Tenge se tenge la la romo kuma samba anarama kende la rabuya. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Teme la rama kamando la robo ma. Shaya sokongo kora la rima la nemi. Anda bahaya pasenge hetunga rararima sandororobo. Amande tererimi kisinge kelaranoromo. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Ah, shasokure telerilimen kemenda larobo hotundai. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I look forward to many, many more services where the spirit of prayer just rolls over us again and again. We rejoice in those services where the praise and worship just sweeps through and we dance and shout and clap and laugh and carry on over and over. And here it comes again. And we just take another lap around the church or something like that, and those times are wonderful, beautiful. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But times like this, when prayer just comes in, a spirit of prayer, and we call on our God, that's what I want to see as well. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. What a great time, a great word. Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you, church. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to let you go here in just a few minutes. Please remember Brother Rick's special day tomorrow, a time 4 to 8.